As we prepare for our next presenter, I'm going to introduce her. It's Dr. Rebecca Verderich, and she's going to present today on risk factors for past month and past year marijuana use among a national sample of Hispanic youth. And Dr. Verderich is a professor in health promotion and education at the University of Cincinnati, and her research emphasis include child adolescent health promotion, substance abuse prevention, suicide and violence prevention, positive youth development, and school health education. She is committed to helping schools, parents, and communities in building protective factors in youth.
Thank you. Yeah, I will be in just a second. I just brought the wrong thing. That's what happens when you have flash drives full of lots of information, and I can't get it to close. Thank you. Magic touch. Okay, before getting started, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation. Keith King is actually presenting on youth suicide down the hall. I'd also like to recognize Ashley Marianos, and then also Lauren Barsh, who's right here in the front row. Our presentation is Predictors of Recent and Past Year Marijuana Use Among a National Sample of Hispanic Youth. Oh, yes, thank you. We would like to disclose that we have nothing to disclose. We have no financial relationships. So marijuana is the most commonly used illicit drug in the United States. Looking specifically at ethnic disparities, marijuana use rates continue to be higher among Hispanic youth compared to youth from other races and ethnicities. According to the most recent Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System survey, we see that 42.1% of Hispanic youth use marijuana at least once within their lifetime. And we see about 25% reported past month marijuana use. Also with Hispanic youth, we see that they're at increased risk to initiate use before age 13. They're also more likely to have reported using marijuana on school property compared to non-Hispanic white youth. Previous research hypothesizes that substance use and the associated consequences are key contributors to health disparities that currently exist among ethnic groups. Looking at risk and protective factors for marijuana use, with risk factors, we see parenting style. So if parents engage in authoritarian, indulgent, and neglectful parenting styles, which tend to be deleterious for our kids, we see increased risk of marijuana use. We also see that peer use, lack of communication about drug use, particularly from parents and teachers, perceived social norms, and deviant behavior all contribute to marijuana use. And, of course, these are just selected risk factors, some that I wanted to point out. There are a multitude of risk factors that promote marijuana use among our youth. Looking at protective factors, we see authoritative parenting, so that's positive parenting practices, tends to be characterized by warmth, open communication, as well as clear and consistent rule setting and enforcement. We also see high levels of communication, again, from parents and teachers in particular, that can have a positive impact and prevent our kids from using marijuana. Family connectedness and school connectedness, so having a sense of belonging to the family and the school. Perceived harmfulness and school policies and rules against drug use, as well as lack of access, all contribute to keeping our kids drug-free. We see that multiple negative consequences exist for youth marijuana use. We see increased absenteeism at school as well as reduced academic achievement. Specifically for adolescents, one of the dangers of marijuana use is it does negatively affect brain development. Recent studies have even led us to believe that there could be irreversible damage to thinking and memory. Chronic marijuana use before the age of 18 has also been found to cause permanent brain damage. So with this in mind, it's very important to begin prevention early to hopefully prevent use altogether in the teen years. So authoritarian parenting, which is characterized by high demandingness and low responsiveness, has one of the worst outcomes for our kids. It also has been found to predict delinquent behaviors, so not just marijuana use, but a variety of delinquent behaviors among our youth. Particularly for the Hispanic culture, values such as respeto, which emphasizes a child's duty to respect and obey parents, as well as familialism, which emphasizes an interdependency on family members, they actually are protective factors, so something we associate more with authoritative parenting. We also see that marijuana use is linked to adolescent depression. We also see a link between criminal behavior and legal involvement in marijuana use. However, some of the weaknesses with those studies is they do tend to focus on the general population and have very low sample sizes of ethnic youth. We do need additional studies specifically on minority youth so we can take a look at what's really going on with these populations. So the study purpose, the present study was conducted to address gaps in the literature and subsequently provide prevention specialists with information that hopefully can be used to create and implement prevention efforts specifically targeting Hispanic youth. The purpose of the present study was to examine specifically if sex, age, authoritarian parenting, school experiences, lifetime depression, legal involvement, and perceived social norms of marijuana use predicted recent marijuana use, so past 30 days, as well as past year marijuana use among Hispanic youth from a nationwide sample. So specifically, our research questions were what percent of Hispanic youth engaged in recent and annual marijuana use, and what impact does sex, age, authoritarian parenting, school experiences, lifetime depression, legal involvement, perceived social norms regarding marijuana use have on Hispanic youth's recent and annual marijuana use. So after IRB approval from the University of Cincinnati, the 2012 National Survey on Drug Use and Health was analyzed in this study. Participants were Hispanic youth ages 12 to 17. There were almost 3,500 Hispanic youth in the sample. They came from all 50 states as well as the District of Columbia. For those of you who may not be familiar with NUSDA, they do use a deeply stratified multi-stage area probability design, and it's conducted by the Research Triangle Institute to select participants. They do provide a $30 incentive. However, all participation is voluntary, and all responses are kept confidential. So looking at the instrumentation, this survey was designed by the federal government to provide national annual data on substance use behaviors among individuals 12 and older. So for the purpose of this study, we used personal family information, the parenting scale, school experiences, depression, legal involvement, marijuana use, and perceived student use of marijuana. So looking at instrument testing, the NUSDA is a valid and reliable survey. It has percent agreements of greater than 80% on most variables, and this has been tested by multiple researchers. The NUSDA is sponsored by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Youth were administered the computer-assisted interview in their households after being informed of the study purpose, voluntary nature of the survey, confidentiality of responses, and importance of providing honest and accurate answers. The NUSDA survey can be completed in either English or Spanish. So data was entered into SPSS version 22.0. We used descriptive statistics to compute frequencies to determine whether recent marijuana use and marijuana use in the past year differed based on sex, age, authoritarian parenting, school experiences, lifetime depression, legal involvement, and perceived social norms regarding marijuana use. We computed unadjusted odds ratios via univariate logistic regression analyses. We also calculated scores for authoritarian parenting, school experiences, legal involvement, and perceived peer use, and then we dichotomized those based on the median split. Finally, all significant variables from our univariate analyses were retained and included in the final multiple logistic regression analysis that was performed to identify the percent of variance accounted for by our model. So let's get to some results. Looking at demographics, we see a total of 3,400 Hispanic youth ages 12 to 17 completed the survey. a very evenly split male and female, about 50% male, 49% females. The sample was trichotomized into age categories. So again, we see an even split between 12 to 13, 14 to 15, and 16 to 17. The present study found 7.5% of Hispanic youth used marijuana within the past month. We also found that 14.5% of Hispanic youth reported annual marijuana use. Unadjusted odds ratios indicated that age, authoritarian parenting, school experiences, lifetime depression, legal involvement, and perceived social norms regarding youth marijuana use were significant predictors of both recent marijuana use as well as annual marijuana use. So therefore, all of those variables were retained and included in our final multiple regression model. It was interesting because sex was not a significant predictor, so therefore it was not retained. The final multiple regression model significantly predicted recent marijuana use and accounted for 9.5% to 22% of the variance in recent marijuana use. Statistically significant predictors for recent marijuana use were age, authoritarian parenting, school experiences, legal involvement, and perceived social norms regarding youth marijuana use. Hispanic youth at highest risk for recent marijuana use were 14 to 15 years old of age, 16 to 17 years of age, experienced authoritarian parenting, lacked positive school experiences, had legal problems, and felt that most students at their school used marijuana. Looking at past year marijuana use, the final multiple regression model significantly predicted marijuana use in the past year and accounted for 14.5 to 24.9% of the variance in annual marijuana use. For this one, statistically significant predictors for past year marijuana use were age, school experiences, legal involvement, and perceived social norms regarding youth marijuana use. Again, looking at annual marijuana use, we see Hispanic youth at highest risk were 14 to 15 years old, 16 to 17 years of age, lacked positive school experiences, had legal problems, and felt that most students at their school used marijuana. So we found very similar things for both recent and annual marijuana use. So this is actually our unadjusted odds ratios. I'll give you a second to look at some of the odds ratios that we did find. It's quite a large chart. Hopefully you can see that. Just to point out a couple, looking at lack of positive school experiences, students who lacked positive school experiences were three times more likely to use both recently and annually. Again, legal involvement. We also had found an odds ratio of almost six, so six times more likely to use annual and recent marijuana. Our final multiple logistic regression, here are odds ratios for this particular model. Again, to point out a few, with the lack of positive school experiences, we found students who didn't feel like they connected at school were almost two times more likely to use recently as well as annually. Again, with legal involvement, we also found very high odds ratios of 4 and 3, respectively. So discussing our study findings, we're seeing Hispanic youth continue to be affected by marijuana use. This particular study revealed that age, school experiences, legal involvement, and perceived social norms significantly predicted marijuana use in the past 30 days as well as annually. Interestingly, authoritarian parenting was only a significant predictor for recent marijuana use. And then identifying specific factors influencing Hispanic youth is very critical because we need culturally tailored and appropriate prevention programs targeting Hispanic youth. The research indicates that they may not be getting the same messages from the current prevention programs. Hispanic youth ages 14 to 15 were nearly two times more likely to report recent use and past year use than 12 to 13-year-olds. Similarly, Hispanic youth ages 16 to 17 were nearly three times more likely to report recent use and approximately 3.5 times more likely to report past year use compared to their younger age counterparts. So the critical takeaway piece is that we need to start early with our prevention messages. Even before ages 12 and 13, when they're first getting started using, we'd love to see prevention messages as early as middle school, elementary school ages, so that we can hopefully prevent use later on. We also recommend in continuing prevention initiatives throughout adolescence. So getting them started with prevention initiatives, but continue with booster shots as they go through to 14, 15, 16, 17, so that they're receiving the same messages from us that they did at a younger age. Unfortunately, we also saw that low school experiences were a significant predictor for both marijuana use past year and annual. In the past 30 days. These findings are similar to previous literature that found that in schools, lacking positive feelings and positive relationships with school personnel and peers are significantly associated with substance use. So it wasn't a surprising finding, but it certainly was disheartening. So it's very possible we need to target Hispanic youth to get them connected to school and also look at reasons why they might not currently be connected. School settings are critical when it comes to preventing marijuana use. So if we can't reach Hispanic youth in that setting, then we may need to get creative and look for other alternatives. However, what I would like to see is, again, connecting Hispanic youth to schools, ensuring that they feel a sense of belonging so that we have just the perfect place to target them with our prevention messages. We also want to make sure all of our prevention programs are culturally appropriate as well as effective prevention initiatives. Looking at perceived peer use of marijuana, it did significantly predict recent marijuana use and past year marijuana use. Hispanic youth who reported that most students they know use marijuana significantly increased the odds for reporting recent marijuana use by more than 4 times and significantly increased the odds of reporting past year marijuana use by more than 3 times compared to Hispanic youth who did not report they knew of peers who use marijuana. However, interestingly, research has found that Hispanic Latino youth tend to over-predict how many of their peers are using. So one particular study found that Hispanic youth guessed about 40% of their peers used, when in actuality only 18% used. So we definitely need to target this with educational programs as well as social norming, social marketing campaigns, so that they can understand that not all of their peers are using marijuana, and it's actually a smaller percentage than they're thinking. So interestingly, the present study found that Hispanic youth who experience authoritarian parenting only significantly predicted recent marijuana use. Results from previous research clearly link authoritarian parenting styles to higher substance use rates. So we were somewhat surprised that there wasn't a link to annual marijuana use. However, we do know among Hispanic youth that higher parental support has been associated with decreased substance use. So we do want to push positive parenting practices. It would be great to target parenting behaviors of Hispanic youth and to take those into consideration as we're planning culturally meaningful prevention programs. Hispanic youth who reported legal involvement were also more likely than non-involved youth to use marijuana. Youth who engage in deviant behaviors tend to be involved in multiple, so again, not necessarily a surprising finding. However, it does lead us to believe that perhaps global prevention strategies would be important. So instead of just targeting substance use or just targeting marijuana, we could actually target a range of deviant behaviors with the same program. We do need additional research to investigate also specific treatment needs for youth who are involved in legal problems. I have not seen a whole lot of research as far as substance use treatment with our teens once they are incarcerated. So just to do some additional research to make sure we're reaching them as needed. So the following are study limitations. First, the study involved a survey of self-reported responses, and some youth may have responded in socially desirable ways, and underreporting may have happened. All participants' responses are dependent upon honest and accurate memory recall. Second, causal relationships could not be determined given the cross-sectional nature of the study. And finally, caution should be used when attempting to generalize these findings to youth of other ethnic groups or in other age categories. I'd also like to add that we personally would love to see additional questions on the NSDA survey specific to acculturation as well as the types of marijuana. As more states are legalizing, we're seeing changes in the type of marijuana used, but some of our national surveys do not have that data. So we just have general marijuana use. We don't know if it's dabs. We don't know if it's high-grade marijuana. And so it would be really beneficial if we could get some of those questions on there. So conclusions. Findings from this study may be used to address the public health problem of marijuana use among Hispanic youth. prevention program should especially target Hispanic youth at early ages to hopefully prevent later use. Incorporating parents and peers into programs are also very important. And then, as results indicated, negative school experiences significantly predicted recent marijuana use and annual marijuana use, so Hispanic students could benefit from school-based programs that improve their overall sense of school connectedness. It may also be necessary to target youth outside the school setting to effectively reach them with these messages. Any questions? Yes. No, that's actually, you know, locally in Cincinnati, we do lots of studies looking at those. Again, it's kind of a limitation with this, where we really want to look specifically at, like, acculturation, because we have found in our own studies locally that acculturation is so important. So the more Americanized, for, I guess, lack of a better word, the youth are, it changes everything. And so to get and dig in that, it would be great. And it would be very nice to run, actually, you know, English versus Spanish. We actually will have to consider that. But as far as getting to acculturation, it's just such a limitation of the NASDA.
We're going to hold questions.
Yes, absolutely.
For the end, for our final presentation.
Okay.
Do you know
what we're talking about? She's here, yes.